You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today, I have a special guest on the show. He's a man of 1,000 podcasts. He's busier now during the hiatus than anybody is, I think. And it's Dave DeFore of The Athletic. I haven't had you on the show. We were just talking about that since before the season. And now, perfectly, as the season is restarting, a great time to have you back on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. Glad I could make some time. I have been incredibly busy.
Yeah. I feel like every other podcast has you on as a guest now.
Yeah. It's, you know, I enjoy podcasting. It's fun. And this has been the last couple of weeks doing all the guest spots and stuff. It's been nice because you get back in the flow of actually talking about basketball versus talking about more of the world, like we've been doing for the last 4 months.
Right.
So it's good getting back into practice, getting my reps.
How are you doing? I've seen you as a pretty steady Twitter presence over the last few months, but just for my listeners, how are you doing in Texas, in North Texas,
San Antonio? Good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, taking up archery.
So. I saw that. It's just for the sake of, you know, knocking a few bows there.
I'm going to hunt. I'm going to bow hunt. Archery itself is pretty fun. And I've never really like devoted any time to it. So I picked up a recurve bow and got a little space carved out in my yard so that I set up a little range. I've been getting out there, taking shots a couple times a day. It's fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
I've never actually used a bow and arrow. I've always wanted to take up archery. It just never gotten around to it. I mean, this seems like a best time that I don't think I'll have more time than I do now. And yet, I don't have a bow myself. Did you actually go and buy a bow?
Yeah, I bought what's referred to as a takedown bow, which means that you can actually change the limbs, so you can change the weight of the bow. And so I got one that I could use light enough to dial in my form, but that could grow with me as I become a better shooter, so I can actually shoot stuff.
I see.
That moves instead of just targets.
I am a vegetarian, so I'm not a
hunter. Are you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I eat meat, so I have no problem killing my own food. If I'm gonna eat food, I shouldn't have a problem with it. I also am not killing anything I'm not gonna eat, so it's not like I'm doing like pigeon target practice or anything.
I never really considered that as a sport, but I guess that would probably harness your skill a little bit better if you were using pigeons as target practice.
Oh, that would be impossible. Yeah. Shotguns work really well for birds. I don't think I'm going to break the mold on that and try to shoot flying birds with a bow and arrow. Seems like a mistake.
Yeah. Probably a good way to lose a lot of your arrows too. We're going to talk a little bit about the restart of the season. Obviously, that's, I think, taking up a lot of our thought at this point in time, aside from all the other issues that are taking place in the world. But I did kind of want to address the news that we found out earlier today that Memphis Grizzlies point guard Justice Winslow is out for the season due to a hip injury that he incurred during a most recent practice. He is out for the remainder of the restart, and who knows when he'll be able to return, because, of course, we don't have a timeline as to when next season will be beginning. But at the same time, I wanted to bring it up because a lot of Heat fans have been kind of, well, frankly, they've been very disgusting about kind of gloating about Winslow's injury, that we got the better of the trade, kind of using it as further ammunition to prove that Winslow was a bust. He's earned the nickname Bustus from some people. I was never 100% sold on Justice as a top pick. I didn't see enough out of him when he was first chosen with the 10th pick back a few years ago to kind of justify that highest selection. But at the same time, you know, he worked hard. He tried his best here. I've made the point a million times that he had the goalpost shifted so consistently for him while he was here, from his role to being a backup on a team that was supposed to be built around Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, to being thrust into a starting role, to being thrust as the 3-and-D player, to the ball handler, the shot creator, and then having to learn how to play alongside Jimmy Butler. It was an impossible situation for him in Miami. And I had hoped that he'd be able to thrive in Memphis somehow, and that just doesn't seem like it's likely anytime soon. But this, the reactions from people have been just abhorrent, to be honest with you. I just, to take any kind of comfort in another person being injured like that, it's just, I can't understand it.
Yeah, if you use someone's injury to do some sort of victory lap, you're a dick.
Yeah, that's a pretty
plain and simple.
Yeah,
and anybody that has a problem with it, you can find me on Twitter. I'm very easy to find. But you're a dick if you do that. And here's the other thing, man. I also don't play the bus game, really, because so much of this stuff, as you just pointed out, requires context. It's all about, you know, his injury issues, which they've been a thing. Like he has suffered a lot of injury issues.
Yes.
You know, the team has been in flux multiple times when he was in Miami. And, you know, there was some hope that, because we saw flashes from him that showed that he's going to be a useful player if he can stay on the court. You know, his playmaking's fantastic. You referred to him as a point guard. I think Memphis just sees him as a secondary or tertiary guy on the wing who can defend multiple positions and do some creation and playmaking. Because Ja Morant, as great as he is with the ball in his hands, pretty good without the ball too. He's actually a pretty good spot up shooter. And so he allowed them, or would allow them, some offensive versatility that they just don't have currently. So I was really excited to see what Justice was going to do with the Grizzlies, given that, you know, it's a super young team. They're the youngest team in the league, average age, 23 and a half years old. And Justice was, you know, almost not really like a seasoned vet, but he'd been around the league a little bit, was still young enough that you could see them.
He fit their timeline perfectly as far as
exactly.
The development.
Yeah, exactly. You could see how he fits what they need, because that's the one thing that they were missing, was a high-end wing. And I think Justice can be that, in particular when you've got Ja and you've got Jaren Jackson. So, yeah, it's a real bummer. And, you know, I just hope that this is a lot more precautionary than anything else. And maybe, it seems like he's going to be ready to go at the start of next season, whenever that is, if that's in December. And so, you know, I'm not too concerned about the injury itself. I think that given his tweet, it seemed a little bit more upbeat than it would have been if he had gotten some sort of devastating news. And I know hips are tricky, especially for athletes. So hopefully it's just, you know, it's a soft tissue injury. It heals and everybody's good to go for the start of next year. But yeah, man, I just, that guy has a lot of promise, and it's anybody that takes any sort of pleasure in a person who's worked their entire lives for something and having it kept from them through no fault of their own. You know, Justice Winslow works hard. He shows up. He's never been a problem for the team or in the locker room. I've never heard anything to that degree. He competes hard. Like, why wouldn't you want anything but success for that guy?
I don't understand.
We should all be bummed as human beings every single time one of these guys get hurt.
Without a doubt.
Sit and get all preachy, but
no, I'm fine with that, because honestly, I don't understand it. Like, I think that a lot of listeners and fans in general, I mean, they don't have that kind of context or nuance of being able to, you know, interact with these people as human beings within the locker room situation, or just talk to them one-on-one and kind of see what they're like as people. But Justice has always been very friendly and open in the locker room. And look, there were some issues in Miami that maybe you weren't aware of, but I've heard that he apparently wanted a much bigger role, that it was going to shift a little bit, obviously, with the ascension of Bam Adebayo and the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. And so he was somewhat disgruntled with the understanding that he was going to be a very, very low man on the totem pole. And maybe that led to his trade to Memphis. Either way, for the first 3.5 years of his career here, he did work hard. He did everything that was asked of him by this team. And although he was injured, there was never any kind of complaints or grumbling from anybody in the team or from Justice. He did everything possible. And so I don't understand that all of a sudden, once he's wearing somebody else's laundry, that we can again take solace and comfort in his injury. That's just ridiculous. But I don't know. I don't want to get, again, as you mentioned, too preachy about Justice. I'm a little disappointed in the people that mentioned that. I hope none of my listeners fall into that category. But I do want to get into a little bit more about the Orlando bubble. We'll take a break now and talk about that in the next segment with Dave DeFore of The Athletic. You're listening to Locked On Heat. us and subscribe and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and that you always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. So, Dave, I think I have a sense of where you are at right now. Obviously, we're excited to watch basketball again, but I think you've been somewhat critical of the decision to restart the NBA season. Is that correct?
Well, okay. So there's two hats here, right? There is the look at our society hat that says, how can you possibly think about having any kind of sports? But then there's the other hat that says, I mean, this is a group of adults, a private corporation, 30 teams with their owners, and a players association that all seem to be on the same page about pulling this off. They have an ideal situation to do it, where they're able to go to Disney and set aside this space for themselves.
Yeah. Zero tests. I mean, most recently,
right.
zero positive tests. Yeah, that's encouraging.
Yep, the plan works. You know, I've had Dr. Zachary Binney on Nerder She Wrote multiple times, the most recent of which, you know, we talked about this specific plan, and you know, he read over it. I read over it. I'm going to trust the expert's opinion on this. It seems to be a good, solid plan. Clearly, the plan right now is going according to plan.
Right.
I'm positive that the NBA is ready for curveballs if they should arise. But, you know, things are looking good. And once these games get going, it gets easier. Guys are going to be more locked in. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have less downtime. But also, every 2 weeks, you're getting rid of a bunch of teams. So you're going to have a smaller population that could potentially trigger an outbreak. I think they're going to pull this off. And, you know, I applaud them for it. It takes a lot of guts to do it. And I know that public sentiment sometimes can be quite unbalanced, and you know, the negative voices are oftentimes louder. Mm-hmm. But I operate in reality where my opinion doesn't change whether the NBA is going to do it or not.
Sure.
So I can only give you opinion on how I feel about what they're actually going to do. Not, you know, if I just sit here staunchly saying, well, they shouldn't do it. Who am I, like, how am I helping anybody? What purpose am I actually serving just by, you know, complaining about it? No, I mean, let's look at it. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? Where could the possible pitfalls come from? You know, that's what we've been trying to do. And honestly, like, I'm pretty impressed with how the league has pulled it off. We should all be so lucky, you know?
Yeah, yeah. They have been able to create something that the outside world has not, which is some sense of stability, regular testing. And, yeah, you can have whatever complaints you want about the fact that they have resources available to them that maybe most of society does not. But, I mean, again, as you pointed out, there's a lot of money at stake, and there's a lot of wealthy, powerful people who can make these kind of decisions for them. They privatize the testing and so on. So would you go so far as to say that you've been surprised by how successful it's been thus far?
No, I'm not, because I read the plan.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I'm surprised that there has been as much compliance.
From the players.
But overall, no, the plan was solid. The plan's working. Now, there are some concerns about players like Zion and Trez Harrell that have had to leave, but the protocols are working. So
I've been very, well, maybe not impressed, but it's been very consistent from players that they understand the protocols are in place for their benefit. And at least from the Zoom calls that I've been a part of and seen from around the league, players seem to be genuinely very appreciative of the structure that's in place. And they've been very willing to adhere to it. Obviously, we hear about your Dwight Howards or maybe some other players here and there, but for the most part, I think you're getting a complete buy-in, which I did not anticipate. I thought the human factor, if, you know, again, if we start to look around, you know, society in general, there's a very good chance that somebody was going to mess it up somehow just because of human nature.
Sure, but also you can opt out. Right. So anyone who's there, who's complaining about any of the protocols that we all knew about, right? No player went into this blind unless they just ignored what was sent to them. So if you're there and you're complaining about it or wearing a mask, complaining about wearing a mask or any of that stuff, that's your fault. Leave, go home. We don't want to hear it.
That's fair. Yeah. And I think again, mostly I've seen a lot of positivity as far as accommodations and everything else and the protocol. So it's good that it's shifting. It seemed like it was getting some very bad reception early on. I think Disney World and the NBA made some tweaks to be much more accommodating as far as food and things of that sort. And it all seems to be working. So hopefully that will continue to be the case. But we're a day away, at least as we're recording this, from actual scrimmages taking place.
Can't wait. I can't believe that I've been checking the schedule to find out when the scrimmages start tomorrow.
I don't know exactly when everybody – I know Miami's is late in the evening, but there's one at noon tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's one at noon. And, I mean, man, I am ready. Starved, even.
What are you anticipating from the scrimmage? Because from what Spoelstra has told us – yeah, that's why he's been like, look, I'm just going to play whoever's out there and whoever's healthy. Yeah, okay.
It's going to be very loose. These guys are – you know, they're going to be working themselves up and into shape. For me, it's more just like, I want to see how everybody's body looks. I want to see how people are moving.
That's a good point.
You know, I'm way less – I'm curious about some of the lineup choices. Mm-hmm. I think we might be able to glean some insight there. But overall, like, no, I mean, I'm just looking forward to being able to sit in my office with the scrimmage going, passively paying attention to it. And, and I mean, honestly, this is what I've been doing with soccer and baseball.
Okay.
Since they've been coming back, and so I'll do the same for these scrimmages. I'll look hard at a couple of teams that I'm really, really curious about, especially teams that have, you know, rotation choices to make. But overall, like, I'm not expecting to see anything. I liked the idea Brad Stevens threw out there that, you know, before they knew they were going to be televised, they wanted to be able to coordinate with the other team to work on specific instances and scenarios, which is, you know, as a coach myself, that's what I have traditionally done,
right?
In scrimmages, you know, scrimmages and exhibitions are a great time to work on things that might only come up once or twice, you know, end of quarter possessions, you know, end of half possessions, you know, just playing in the bonus and things that you know, just hard to replicate.
I think there has been that level of communication from what I understand, at least on the Miami end. I know Spoelstra has talked to,
but now that it's televised, I don't think we're going to get that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be just more, it's going to feel more like a scrimmage, like a pickup game.
Did you have any interest in, I don't know if you even had the opportunity, but did you have any interest in going to the bubble in Orlando?
Not really. Not really. I do wish that I could go and just watch the games.
Right.
You know, just in silence or relative silence.
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to be an empty arena. I think we're going to see a lot of that.
So I would be interested in that. You could pick up quite a bit as an analyst, you know, being able to hear the players, being able to hear the coaches, being able to hear the play calls without reading lips. You know,
Ben Golliver on the show last week, and he mentioned that he was, you know, he was looking forward to the fact that he's going to be on the finals 10 feet away from whoever's going to be out on the floor listening to everything going on. And and that's why he's there and willing to commit 3-4 months of time is for that opportunity to be able to listen in and just get so much more information than anybody else really can, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And for me, like, I'm not a reporter. You know, I'm an analyst, so sending me to something like that honestly would be a waste of money, because I'm not gonna sit there getting exclusives. I'm not gonna do any of the stuff that, you know, that really requires you to have boots on the ground there.
I see.
Yeah, okay. Especially with the social distancing stuff.
Yeah, no,
so it's not,
I mean,
like, you can like get in the mix.
Right. If you're one of the first batch of reporters that's been allowed on campus, and that time period is over, you would have the kind of access that maybe you might, again, to some extent, you're not going to have it as much as you were during, you know, last year or anything like that, but you're going to get much more access. The tier two level media access, which is what everybody else can get at this point, is just basically a glorified version of being at home watching it from you.
Right. It feels like a waste. You know, I mean, I guess I could go to Disney World and hang out.
Yeah, you could, but you wouldn't be allowed back in the bubble afterwards, right?
Right. So.
Well, I know.
Just hang out at home.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that you're interested in watching some teams. I know one of those teams that you're not interested in watching is the Miami Heat.
Oh, relax.
We'll talk about that in our next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Dave, you seem to be bristling a little bit there. You explained to me before we started recording that basically you don't think the Miami Heat are very good. I'm paraphrasing.
No, I think they're fine. I'm just not expecting, like, this is not a real finals competitor.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, a lot of my listeners might be a little irrationally high on Miami. I could see the opportunity for them to get there. I think best case scenario would be getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know that they're able to knock off any other Eastern Conference opponent that they'd face there. Maybe that's really, really optimistic. But I mean, if certain things break right, it could work in Miami's favor. And I know that's probably overly simplistic.
But that, I mean, there's a lot of teams like that, right? But if everything breaks like the NBA usually does, which is that the better teams win, right, then, you know, Miami, who had a fine season and is a completely fine team, like, I actually think they're poised for big things. I just don't see how they can compete with the, you know, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors.
That's fair. There's a lot to kind of think about in this context. And as far as, I'm starting to realize that Miami, and maybe you don't put a lot of weight in this, but I feel like, at least from an attitude perspective, they are so locked in and focused. And I think there's a harmony and a camaraderie in that locker room that is atypical in the NBA. And a clarity of focus and enough experience as far as veteran leaders and even the young players who might typically, and I think you and I both agree on this, could be, absolutely be a weak point. They are so eager to play basketball and so ready to contribute at a high level that I think they're all going into this with such high hopes and with, again, that just a purity of focus that mm-hmm. makes them dangerous. And on top of that, even just from a roster standpoint, I do like the moves that they made at the trade deadline as far as being able to limit Milwaukee, who is clearly the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. And I think if they're able to get the most out of Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, and in combination with Bam Adebayo, who has still yet to report to the team, and Jimmy Butler continues to do what he does, they could at least limit what Giannis can do. And if that's the case, I like their chances against Milwaukee. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, the Bam thing is a big deal, right? The fact that Bam's not there is a big deal.
Not yet. I mean, he is. I think he actually may be on campus and he may be quarantined, from mm-hmm. what I've heard.
But the ramp up stuff is important.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to have games starting in a little over a week.
He may not be there for the.
Yeah. I was going to say, I find it hard to believe he's going to be ready to go. So that's one thing. But that's not my bigger point. Is just they don't have as much talent. And it's not that they aren't a good team. They are. Right. They rely quite a bit on very young players. And this is clearly an unprecedented circumstance. So maybe we need to throw all conventional wisdom out the window.
Yeah.
But I just don't see, you know, the talent gap is very apparent when you look at Miami and you compare them to Toronto, Boston, or Milwaukee. And to win 4 out of 7 usually takes more talent. That's it.
You think they've got Toronto the coach. Is more talented? You think Toronto's more talented? I could give Boston that edge because of the Tatum factor.
Yeah, I think Toronto's got more talent. Yeah.
Really?
Toronto's really deep.
They're good.
A lot of talent.
Yeah, with a lot of talent.
And I don't think Miami doesn't have talent. I just don't think they have as much as Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee.
I got to disagree with you on that. I look at the Toronto Raptors, and I think that obviously there's the experience factor. There's mm-hmm. great coaching there, and Nurse has done a phenomenal job mm-hmm. of getting that team motivated. I don't see the talent necessarily. I think there's certainly really,
Kendrick
really good
Nunn wouldn't be in the rotation in Toronto. I mean, he'd be like their fourth guard off the bench, maybe? Third?
The fact that he's a starter in Miami is right. Just because they don't need him to be a ball handler. That's Jimmy's right. role now. I mean, yeah, sure. I could see that.
I get it. And Kendrick Nunn's good. It's not that he's bad. I just think that Toronto is better. And we're going to find out all this very soon, which I'm excited for. But, you know, my theory all year has been, when you rely that much on young guys to produce, it's not going to go well when you get to the playoffs. Now, they've proven me wrong for the most part all season, because those guys have been really solid all year with very few dips. I just, you know, I worry about it once it comes to like the real games, which is going to be, you know, in another 3 weeks or so.
I don't count Tyler Herro there, because to me, honestly, he, as young as he is, and he is young and he's a rookie, he just seems so completely different than your typical rookie, especially one who's a mid-lottery pick. He doesn't have that kind of quote-unquote pedigree, but he just – Spo is fond of saying it, and I can, you know, kind of vouch for this. His performance in clutch situations has been phenomenal, and he does not give a fuck. He just wants the ball in his hands. He wants to take that shot. I don't think he's going to feel pressure of the playoffs whatsoever, and maybe I'm wrong. But just based on what we've seen over the course of the season, he seems like he really does thrive under those pressure situations. And so I get the feeling that we're going to see him rise to the occasion rather than pull away. If there's going to be an X factor among those young players, to me, it's Duncan Robinson. I think Kendrick is what he is. There are moments there where he can be a complete zero as far as production is concerned. Mm-hmm. But Duncan Robinson is that guy that really concerns me, because – I think the issue is whether or not defenses start to key on him and his ability to get shots off. It's not like he's limited, but obviously three-point shooting is the strength of what he does. And if you can find a way to keep him from coming off those multiple screens, if you can harass him and make life difficult for him and keep him from shooting 40-something percent, Miami relies on that part of his offense so much that I wonder if maybe they're kind of sink or swim based on Duncan's performance.
I think that that's a good line of thought. Now, he's been fantastic all season.
Hell yeah.
But again, the playoffs is a whole different beast. And we've seen shooters as good as Duncan Robinson clam up once the playoffs start. Now, I don't anticipate that. I think he's probably going to be fine. I don't think he's going to necessarily shoot 45%, you know, on, I mean, how many attempts has he taken a game? 7, 8, 9, something like that. I mean, really high volume. I'm not expecting him to be that guy. But maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility.
What do you expect out of Butler?
I mean, Butler is the one guy I know you can count on that team. You know, we've seen him do it before. I mean, we saw in Philly, he was the only guy on that team that could get a shot. So as long as you've got Jimmy Butler, you know, you're at least going to give yourself an opportunity to be in the game.
Yeah.
And this is another thing about Spoelstra teams, like they're going to defend. So that's not a concern. My bigger concern is just who besides Jimmy is going to be able to provide offense for this team. Who's going to create shots when the defense is keyed in on Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, not a lot of options. I think mm-hmm. you've got Goran Dragic, a little older. He can still do it. Duncan, you know.
I think Goran's going to be very important for this team. As a matter of fact, could wind up overtaking Nunn and playing more minutes than him. Once we get into the playoffs, I mean, let's see how the 8 games go. But you know, having that steady hand and you know, maybe Goran winds up over 30 minutes a night, and we see Kendrick Nunn taking kind of a backseat to Dragic.
I can't see Dragic at this point in time in his career at his age, even though
he can get shots up, and it's just key.
I think you're gonna see a mini breakout from Herro, just because he is another guy who can get his shot off. He's got a good handle and he's confident enough to let it fly, even when he's being well guarded, which could be a problem. But I think we've seen over the season that he can be a very potent scorer, especially again in clutch situations. But there are questions. I mean, Bam, assuming he returns to full health, you're not counting on him for offense, although you would like for him to be a competent playmaker and shot creator for others and then just kind of do what he does around the rim. I just don't know how much more offense you're going to get. I think I had somebody ask me this a couple weeks ago, whether or not we might see a three-point shot from Adebayo in the Orlando bubble, and I don't see it. Like, I don't think he's been able to work on that shot, you know, proficiently enough over the last few months just to be able to unleash it in a high-pressure situation. So there are concerns there. I mean, Myers Leonard returning to full health. He's been a very good shooter for Miami. Kelly Olynyk is another X factor there coming off the bench. I don't know. I like
I mean, Leonard, the rotations are going to shorten. That's the other thing. So, like,
I don't know that they are. I don't know that they are. Spoelstra, traditionally, you're absolutely right. That's what Spo does. But he's just talked about so much relying on depth, especially in the bubble situation where you have guys who could face injury, and because of the compressed nature of this situation, that I get the feeling he's going to go 10 deep, maybe even 11 deep. And I know that's really a typical.
I'd be surprised if he's doing that in the playoffs.
I don't see who he benches. Again, I mean, none seems like a typical, a very, very likely candidate if he's not producing. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you kind of need the offense and floor spacing of the bigs. And so that means Olynyk, Leonard, and Adebayo are all going to play.
Yeah.
Jake Crowder. Yeah,
I mean, you know, they could really use Justice Winslow right now.
Yeah, you think so. You know, I like, from the temperament standpoint, I like what Iguodala brings, because if you're going to look at the concerns of young players there, at least you have somebody with veteran championship experience in Iguodala to kind of help. And even though this situation is very different than anything he went through in Golden State, I think there's a stability there where it's just like, well, this is the situation. We kind of go and focus and get through it. I think Jimmy Butler has that mentality. Goran Dragic and his EuroLeague experience certainly has it. I think it's a good balance. I mean, Myers Leonard in an interview with me told me that he sees this team, and you know, he has had experience on really good teams in Portland, but maybe this is just him blowing smoke up the team's collective ass, but at the same time, he just loves the stability of the organization, the coaching, the defense, the offense, everything that they have there, and he really sees them as a title contender. Now, he told me this in early April when there was no chance of the season coming back. And he said, I asked him, what do you miss most, or what are you most disappointed about the season coming to an abrupt end? And he's like, well, I thought we were going to compete for a championship. So he might be way, way off base. I kind of just feel like maybe he might be onto something. Maybe he sees everything working so well in a way that I can't from the outside, that it might just kind of click into place here when everything starts moving. But I mean, we're a couple of days away from seeing a version of this product, and I am very, very curious about it. I know you are, obviously. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts about Miami? Do you see Milwaukee being so much more superior than every other team in the Eastern Conference, or do you think you think Boston and Toronto have any chance of knocking them off? Obviously every team does, but
yeah, I mean, Boston and Toronto are gonna have to go through each other, right? So, you know, lucky for the Bucks. The Bucks have been the best team in basketball, regular season wise, for, you know, like the last 2 years. But this year, just far and away. I mean, best defense. I think they're like sixth in offense. You got the MVP, the likely defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
There's an argument to be made that Bud's coach of the year. You know, they were on pace for like 67 wins or something like that. You know, they're a juggernaut. And the only thing that separates them from the way we talk about other really great teams is that they haven't won a title yet. Because, you know, last year was year one. I just think the Bucks are so good that nobody really has a shot. I think of the other teams, Toronto and Boston, you know, the second and third ranked team in the conference, probably have the best shot. When was the last time a four seed made the finals?
Houston?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Is it Houston?
I have no idea.
I think Houston was a four seed back
it's
in
been
95.
A while. Yeah,
I think they
it's rare.
Off. Yeah,
and that's just how the NBA works. I mean, you know, the NBA, like, at 65 games, you basically can call it a wrap for the playoffs if the eighth seed has like a 3-game lead or more. And often you can look at like January 1st and you can say, well, there's our playoff seeding. It's a very predictable sport.
Yeah, no, these are all very good points. It's so hard to kind of project anything because there are so many unknowns moving forward. I guess you kind of hope for the best as far as what teams are able to do. But, and that's not a knock on Miami if they're not able to, you know, become a title contender right away, given everything that's happened and the fact that, as you pointed out, they're still early on, maybe even a player away.
Yeah, maybe Victor Oladipo away.
That's interesting. A listener wanted me to ask you what you thought about the Pacers now that Domantas Sabonis is facing plantar fasciitis. I mean, the whole Oladipo in and out of the lineup thing, I wonder about them and whether or not they're going to actually be able to win a couple games here and there. Like, I mean, they're tied for the fifth seed right now. It looks like Philadelphia's probably going to be able to overtake them. We didn't even talk about the Sixers. Are you not a believer in Shake Milton?
I think Shake is fine, but you know, they still have other issues to sort out. And I need to see it, essentially, the Shake and Ben Simmons combo on the court.
Yeah.
I just need to see it. That's a wild card that we cannot predict at this point.
The numbers on that were not particularly good when they were both in the lineup before.
But it's a small sample.
Sure.
I need to see what it looks like, full speed, Ben being totally healthy, Joel being in shape. There's just so many factors with that team.
Yeah.
They could surprise us, because I thought they were going to be a much better team than they were.
So did I.
And I also thought they were very well suited for playoff basketball.
Absolutely.
And so, they are pretty interesting. Way more interesting to me than the Pacers right now. Like you mentioned, Sabonis with the plantar fascia issue. Who knows if he's even going to be able to play? Who knows how much Victor's going to play? I'm actually writing about them right now, and it's extremely frustrating because it's mostly a bunch of question marks.
Yeah.
And they have been so extremely solid all season outside of Victor and Brogdon, and then a couple of little nagging things that Sabonis has picked up, but they've been surprisingly consistent. The Sixers, the variance there is extremely high.
Yeah.
They can win games on defense, and they've got Joel Embiid, who is just, a monster scorer. So I'd give them a better shot than Miami, to be honest with you, just because I think their ceiling, the potential of their ceiling is so high. Joel Embiid is a tier one player, I think, in the NBA. And when you have a guy like that, and then you've got a guy who can defend the way that Ben Simmons does, you can put him on the opposing team's best player. You can take that player out of the game. Oftentimes the rest of the guys just need to be able to do their job. And I think that's a little bit easier for them than it would be for a team like Miami.
That's all fair. Just give me one positive thing. Give my listeners one positive thing.
Jimmy
about
Butler
game.
Is amazing.
Here's
a positive thing. Bam Adebayo is probably all NBA. Like, I think he's going to sneak onto the third team.
Good.
He had a fantastic season. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is a must watch. Like, we're going to watch this team in the playoffs, and they are not going to lose because of Jimmy Butler. If they lose, it's going to be someone that's not Jimmy Butler that messed up.
Without a doubt.
I think that's a great place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. All good things, Dave.
I think they're one guy away, to be honest with you. I think they add someone this summer, and we're talking about the Miami Heat up at the top of the Eastern Conference rather than in the middle.
Okay, quickly then, if you had your druthers, Bradley Beal for the Heat roster or Victor Oladipo?
Oh, I think Bradley Beal. I mean, Bradley Beal is just a better player. So, yes. Yeah, I certainly would rather have him.
Right.
I don't know how either one of those guys necessarily fit with Jimmy.
Sure.
Because I don't want to take the ball out of Jimmy's hands necessarily. That being said, Jimmy can play off the ball. He's been totally fine there. So, Bradley Beal as well. Victor, not as great away from the ball. Mm-hmm. We all know about that year in OKC.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was unusual circumstances there.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. I mean, I think Victor raises their ceiling. I think Bradley Beal raises their ceiling. I think Bradley Beal is going to be harder to get than Oladipo, it's just because he's a better player.
Well, of course, none of it matters because Giannis is a lock to come to the team in 2021 anyway. So,
wait, is this Locked On Bucks? Is that?
No, believe me, Locked On Bucks would never admit to that. I had Ty Windish on the line a couple weeks ago, and boy, I brought up the possibilities of Giannis here. He was downright despondent. I think he didn't even retweet the show out when he appeared on it. No, no, he's not looking forward to it.
I don't think Giannis is leaving.
Yeah, I don't either, but yeah. I don't know. Anyway. Thank you so much, Dave. Always one of the great conversations. Always nice to have you on the show. Please tell my listeners where they can follow you on Twitter and where they can get all of your great work.
So I'm on Twitter, Dave Dufour NBA, and then everything I do is over at The Athletic. All of the podcasts, all the writing, all of that in one place.
Excellent. And definitely do yourself a favor. If you're not following Dave for some reason, which I can't imagine why you wouldn't be, do yourself a favor. Stay more informed. You'll find out a lot of great information. And he is a frequent guest of podcasts for a reason, because he knows what the hell he's talking about.
So. I mostly don't tweet that much about basketball anymore, though. So
Well, it would,
to be
it would,
fair,
it would take up so much of your time because it's like if you keep tweeting about all the things that you're doing, it's just like that's hours and hours of your day. It takes up more time doing that than actually appearing on podcasts.
Yeah, I'm excited to find archery Twitter at some point. That's what I'm really excited for.
That seems like a dark place, like a slippery slope.
Oh, no. It's going to be great.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Best of luck to you then. I wish you all the best, not just in archery, but in life in general. And thanks again for taking the time to be on the show. For all my listeners, be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Yeah! Wrap it up, D.